Do we still got to do introductions, or is they recorded now?
Bro? I ain't even recorded. I mean, I ain't even edited. I've been so busy.
All right.
We're going to need that for like season two or something.
I bet. Can y'all hear my kids crying in the back?
Yep.
Definitely can.
Bet. Yo, welcome to the Patriarch Pod. Let's do this.
That's probably your best one yet.
Right. Short and sweet. Look at you.
We in here.
Hey. Hey, what's up, fellas?
What's good, man?
How y'all feeling, man?
We all here. You know, it's almost Friday. It's about to be the weekend. I'm excited for the weekend.
Big weekend for both for all of us.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah, man. It's so crazy that all of our daughters' birthdays are like within like a 4-day span. So my daughter turns 11 August 6th. Is it yours that's next?
Yeah, mine will be 2 on the 7th.
And Charlie's birthday is actually the 9th, right?
Yeah, yeah. We needed somebody to fill in that 8th for us.
Right.
I know, man. Need to get Leon to summon. Whatever time of year that was, we was getting them pumps in. We need to tell Lee.
It was November.
November.
Is that when it was?
November, yeah. Yep. Of course.
Yeah, I remember distinctly. We was leaving a different wedding in 2019. Oh, wait.
Was that my wedding?
Y'all got married in 2019?
Yeah.
No. My daughter was born in 2019, so that was 2018.
Okay.
Yeah, we was leaving one of my frat brother's weddings, you know. She was looking right.
Hey.
Jump on it.
Hey, that's how it be.
I was just leaving the streets kind of thought.
Hey, you know, that worked too. Yo, so that kind of ushers us into our topic for this evening, man. This concept of Planned Parenthood. What does it mean to you? How were you taught about the birds and the bees, or just birth control? And
oh, so you don't mean like the building, like the place, Planned Parenthood. You mean like actually Planned Parenthood?
Right. You know what I'm saying? Honestly, I don't think I've ever been inside of a Planned Parenthood building at all.
I have. When I worked in radio, they used they used to always like I don't know. I don't remember why we were there, what we were promoting or whatever. But we used to do
probably STD tests and stuff.
Yeah, that's what it was. So we used to
I've been there for that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, for like screening, for like women's screenings, for like breast cancer screenings and like mammograms and STD testing. And so I used to partner with them. I just remember I had a friend that worked there and I used to get like hella free condoms from Planned Parenthood. They used to drop them joints off.
Yeah, they do keep you supplied with the condoms. I did remember that. I don't think I've ever been in one either, but I do remember them being condom suppliers.
Yeah.
I mean, we could do a little bit of both then.
So,
go ahead.
So, Planned Parenthood, I ain't never planned for neither one of mine. So, it was just surprise.
Boops on surprise.
Nah, let me start this off. Because when I think about Planned Parenthood, like I think about us, like going back to like when we were all in high school, right? Like, and thinking about what, like you said, the birds and the bees, right? Like, what did that even mean? Like, what did sex mean to you in middle school? Like, when did you first discover sex? When did you start? I mean, you ain't got to tell me all that, but if you want to, when did you start getting active in sex?
I just want to know what the bird did to the bee. That's what I want to know.
Let's unpack that one right there.
Is that like a real? Is it a real story, or is it just like a metaphor, or is it just the same?
I
don't know the story.
Let me look that up for you.
But I have no
while
clue.
While I'm looking that up, can we start with the childhood or early sex?
So I think my first time being active, I was just after my freshman year of high school, and I was, when I tell you, I knew nothing about nothing. I knew nothing. Like, it was embarrassing. And so I was living in this like apartment building downtown Detroit, like on the borderline of Jeff or Detroit and Grosse Pointe in the hood. We used to call that joint the Carter from like New Deck City. And I just, my sister was mad popular. So I used to have a lot of like women like looking at me. And so long story short, this one chick was like, hey, let's go kick it. Let's go hang out. And when I tell you, I didn't know how to put a condom on. I didn't, like, I thought I had to pee when I was like orgasming.
Did you just lay there or something?
Nah, bro, I ran to the bathroom and was like, oh, snap, I got to pee. Like, I knew absolutely nothing. Like, I clearly wasn't ready to be even trying to do that. And I remember just being embarrassed and going back was like, and just lying, like, I ain't even into this. And that was it. It was two pumps and done.
I feel you.
And I don't think I talked to the girl again because we ended up moving like a few weeks later. So I don't even think I talked to the girl again. I couldn't, it was nothing special about it either. Like if this chick was in a lineup of three women, I couldn't pick her out. Like, I don't remember anything.
Yeah, man. Honestly, I think that's pretty common for a lot of men.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, other than that though, Planned Parenthood. So like, I think I talked about this before. It wasn't something that, we really had a serious conversation about like that at home. No disrespect to my parents or whatever, but it was just like, I ain't doing nothing like that. You know what I'm saying? So we ain't really gotta discuss it like that. But it really wasn't a lot of conversation about it. I remember, having the sex ed classes and stuff at school.
I ain't paid no attention.
But it was more so, I think, just talking about the reproductive system, the reproductive systems in that sense. And so, man, it was really just, honestly, you know what I'm saying? I think I mentioned, not going to, a Planned Parenthood type place or whatever until probably I got to college. And that's because they have those kinds of little clinics on campus and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So, like, going in there, it's kind of like a little bit of a shock to me, too. Just because, people just offering you, like, contraceptives and stuff like that for a good reason, obviously. But but it was just different because I had not been exposed to stuff like that at that point. Just people to talk about it freely,
What?
Never mind, my kid. All right, go eat your go-gurt and go upstairs. Bye.
Okay, bye.
Later. Yeah, Henry, what you got, man?
So, the birds and the bees, let me give you all this. This is from Wikipedia. So, according to this, its origin starts probably from some writers, but the idea is that it's a metaphorical story that's easy to explain to kids because it's something you see in nature. So like bees are carrying around and depositing pollen into flowers. So it's like an easy way to make parallels to like, men fertilizing. And then with birds, female birds, you see them laying eggs. And so you can make that connection to women and ovulation. It's a stretch, but
it's not an actual story.
No, I mean, it's just like
what is it? Not alliteration, but just metaphor. Literary devices, right?
Yeah.
Man, I waited 35 years for this story, and
that's it. I mean, I can create something for you around that. All right.
Write a children's book.
Yeah, I got you. But nah, man, for me, with the whole birds and the bees, I never had to talk either, right? Like, with my parents, it was more so, like, don't get nobody pregnant.
Yeah, don't bring no baby home.
That was it. That was the only birds and the bees I really got. And I, like, grew up in the church for the most part. And so, you know, it was a big push for, like, you know, saving yourself for marriage and not having sex in marriage. And so I held on to my virginity for a really long time because it was like a sense of pride. I was like, yeah, like I'm a virgin, like until like 17. So yeah, I mean, so for me, I didn't really learn the birds and the bees until I got active in the birds and the bees when I was when I was 17. And it was just through all that was just through experience. And yeah.
That is interesting, though, that you said.
But you was out here bumping zippers, though.
Oh, please believe. Zippers were bumped.
Oh, the game. How to go get it.
Oh, yeah. How to go get it. Man, I remember in my neighborhood, there was this dude that lived down the street named Junebug. And we was playing hide and go get it with his sisters.
This is about to take a weird twist.
And he heard that his sister hid, and I went and got it. And man, I swear I couldn't. Like, you've seen it in movies where like you couldn't go down like a certain street or a certain because somebody looking for you. It was the truth. Like, I couldn't go down that part of my street because Junebug was looking for me. He wanted to beat me up because he thought I had got it from his sister.
It's a real thing, man. But no, that just kind of got me thinking, though, about like there's kind of like a debate between like abstinence or just that education around sex and like witches. So I've heard that kind of thing. But yeah, I do remember, you know, growing up here. And Henry, I think it was at Yale Church. They used to do the, what is it? It was like a all night kind of thing, New Year's Eve party. Yeah, man. Hey, it was a great time, right? But they did get into some pretty deep stuff, like especially like around like you know the. I don't even want to. Not. I guess you could say just consequences of. Like intercourse and you know all those kinds of things, like what happens and you know how you can just open yourself up to so much other things outside of you know just you know the obvious like STDs and those kinds of things, pregnancy and stuff like that.
But they was lying though. They was like it's bad. It ain't nothing bad. I ain't experienced nothing bad about it.
I don't know. It sounded like that first time was not the.
Hey man, I enjoyed the 14 seconds first off, but I felt like that church just used to use like scare tactics, whatever. Like they weren't like, you know, it wasn't a lot of transparency back then, you know, about like sex ed. It just be like, don't do it, you're going to hell, or don't do it, you're gonna catch something and die. But there was no like, no realism behind it.
I don't know. I kind of have I got a little bit of a different lens of it because, like, when they did some of the illustrations, right, about like if you slept with this person and that person slept with that person and you slept with this person and that person before this person and all this kind of stuff, like, really what you kind of bring in behind you into a situation, you know what I mean? Like, different things like that.
I must have not been paying attention to them parts because I missed that.
I remember that vividly. Yeah. You on point. I remember that vividly. that connection of past relationships and baggage.
I must have been behind the bleachers bumping zippers.
Yeah. You weren't listening. You were heated back then.
I definitely was.
Yeah, you were. Nah, Chris, I agree, man. Like I as an adult looking back to some of those talks, I probably would rephrase or change my delivery and some of the ways that I would deliver it. But I got a very similar thing about, like, you know, when you have relations with someone outside of marriage, like, then you are creating these spiritual ties to that person. And that's true. Like, whether you want to believe it or not, like, whether you into religion or not, like, there is some sort of vulnerability and opening up, and I've heard them get even deeper with, like, the actual, like, parallels and connections. But I've noticed that, like, in some of the relationships, even in, like, a one-night stand, if you will, like, you can see that, like, there's still some sort of connection that you have with that person because of it being such an intimate thing. And so the church always preached that you should wait until marriage, which in return forced a lot of people to, like, get married when they were young.
True.
Right. True. And so, cause they're like, look, I'm trying to get it. So according to church, the only way I can get it is I gotta be married. So let me go ahead and get married. Yeah, so that was my belief going through church, was that whole idea of, like, I'm gonna wait until marriage. And even, you know, the person that I ended up losing my virginity to, like, the thought was, like, we were going to get married. And then as I got older, you know, my paradigm shifted. And then so, you know, things just kind of changed in my way of thought around that change.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel you, man. I do remember that evening, obviously, very vividly. But I've also heard it kind of just reinforced through church and different types of settings like that. Like, I haven't really gotten at it. Like, I can't imagine what that have been like if we had did that kind of illustration at school. Like, like, what? I'm trying to think of how old we were or how old I was during that party for life. It was like the last one they had, and they didn't do it anymore after that. But yeah, man, just kind of thinking about that, like, I wonder what kind of impact would that have had if there was something that kids got like that during, like, sex ed. And, like, even then, you can opt out of sex ed, right?
Right, right.
So, you know, just thinking about... Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, even... I don't even remember if I had sex ed. But even if I did have sex ed, I think it's more... Like, sex ed is a little too anatomical. Is that a word? Like, it's more anatomy of it all as opposed to, like... understanding some of the relationship type things that's tied to it. So I think, yeah, they can supplement that with some of that other aspect, because I think that's important.
Yeah, that's what I was saying earlier. Like, it seemed like it was purely just biological and, you know, just the science behind the reproductive systems and stuff like that. But yeah, it's... I think, I know people say, you know, it's not the school's job to raise your kids.
Right.
And all this other stuff. It's like, man, like, where, like, if you ain't getting it at home, like, my parents wasn't dropping no dimes about soul ties and nothing like that at home. You know what I mean?
Soul ties. That's what it was called.
What'd you say?
Terminology and everything. No, I didn't remember what it was called, but yeah, you're right. It was called soul ties. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, you can see it play out in different relationships, you know, especially as, you know, young and start to mature and stuff like that. So I think there's definitely place for it. You know what I mean? In terms of how you discuss sex and all that.
And even on a deeper level, just besides soul ties, man, like, you absorb other people's energy, man.
Mm-hmm.
Connect with them in that matter. I remember being with somebody who was just, like, not in a great mental space and was, like, always depressed. And I took on all of that energy. And it just shifted me and shifted my life. And I was like, once I like let go of that person and stop dealing with them like that, I remember like having to actively work on my mental health to just release all of that I absorbed from them.
Yeah.
But I do think they need to reevaluate and restructure how they talk about, Planned Parenthood and sex education in schools. Like, just be real with it. And just let them, you know what I'm saying? Like, I understand the whole anatomy part, but like, get in depth, talk about like the actual protection and the importance of waiting and not to glamorize it so much, or you know, not to glamorize it, but just to be real and say like, this is what can happen.
Mm-hmm. I remember the show called The Wonder Years.
Oh yeah, it's one of my favorite theme songs.
Hey, it's about to be rebooted, like with from a black family's point of view.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. But
that's dope.
It just kind of got me thinking. I feel like maybe that was the error, or it just seemed like it was the error, or maybe they even had an episode. But like, you know how like they do, like take care of. I think my wife actually did this too in her high school, where they send them home with like a little baby doll that cries and poops
or the egg. We got the egg in high school. Yeah.
See, I never did any of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but, me either.
But yeah, like. You know, I wonder what, what is the science behind that, or does that really deter teenage pregnancy and those kinds of things? Like, I feel like if it did, they would do it everywhere. But
it's a scare tactic, and I feel like scare tactics don't work, right? Like, because even, or it like it scares you to a point where like you don't understand the reason why, right? Like, because I feel like. Mm-hmm. Like, even before that, my parents, again, like I said, was like, don't get nobody pregnant. And so that caused me to create like this mental thing in my head where it's like, man, if somebody had a baby at a young age, like it was like, oh, shoot, they life over. Mm-hmm. They done, right? Like, so I'm like creating this caste system against people who having kids at a young age and not necessarily understanding, you know, what consequences are involved with that, positive or negative, like, and not even like trying to think from their perspective and being like, sure, there are other options instead of just having a kid, right? Once you get to that point, but I don't understand what they're going through or what they got to make that decision. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't have necessarily empathy. It was just straight up judgment. And I think, you know, having those scare tactics like that, where it's like, oh, here's a baby, take care of it. Doesn't really teach them the why behind it. It's more so, yeah, you don't want to deal with that, do you? Right? That's what it seemed like.
Right. Man, that's funny, man. I ain't never had to do that. At least I don't recall. But yeah, just I think that was probably the most vivid presentation that I've got of like just sort of the I feel like this is such a negative word, but it's not, like, just consequences or just the results of your choices and actions and stuff like that that would come after if you did decide to, you know, engage in some kind of sexual act or something like that with somebody, and being prepared to deal with all that. So, you know, I am curious about what do you guys think as far as, I know it's down, I hope it's down the line for me, but I don't know. That's the thing too. Like, when is a good time to start talking about these things with your kids? You know what I mean?
I mean, I've had some type of talks already with like my kids, just because like my son, he doesn't have a filter. And
you know, trying to get the numbers, get the digits and stuff,
right? And so, yeah, he played like the inappropriate song, and I had explained to him, like, you know, like, you can't do that because of boundaries and respect and what this means when you do this type of stuff. Or, you know, like little kids, like, they'll, you know, push each other or slap each other on the butt or something weird because they don't understand, like, they don't understand sexualization. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when they get into school, you know, they have to be taught social norms and boundaries. And, you know, you have to have that conversation like, hey, you can't do this because this is what this means and this is what this is. And yeah, so it's certain levels, like it's certain levels you have to see each at an early age.
So like with you, Mark, are you, is the message consistent between your daughter and your son, right? Are you keeping that consistent or are you coming at it from two different angles?
No, I think I come at it from different angles in a sense of, I teach my son how to be a decent young man, but I teach my daughter like boys are trash. Oh, and okay. To be,
man, that sounds like a scare tactic, man.
But no. I teach my daughter that, you know, be aware of the hold on, I can't, my computer froze.
There you go.
Y'all can hear me now?
Yeah.
We were hearing you.
Oh, okay. So yeah, so I have to teach my son just how to be a decent young man, but I have to teach my daughter how to be on guard and see the difference between boys. You know, because she'll be 11, but she's like already developing as a young lady. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, boys are, they're only looking at certain things now at this point. And so, because she looks different from all the other 11-year-olds. Mm-hmm. And so I have to teach her to be open-minded and aware of a lot of that stuff when she's dealing with boys.
Man, what do you find the most difficult part about
even
that?
Even girls that get jealous.
What do you find?
Is that, I mean, it's coming from dad and she doesn't know if dad. Is that, you know, it's listening to dad and she doesn't know if dad truly understands it or know what I'm talking about yet. You know what I'm saying? Mm. She's just like, oh, dad, you just being protective.
Yeah.
So she like, I just rather hear from my mom.
And I think that's also what makes like that conversation so challenging, because like it depends on the relationship you have with your child, right? Because like you some dads can't even, like, they can have the talk with the boy, but they can't have any of those like conversations with the girl, because it's like it feels that for them, for some dads it just feels like it's out of their wheelhouse. And they're like, okay, I'm gonna let your mom take that. Actually, I was just watching an episode of My Wife and Kids, because I had to get back in there once I was reminded. And yeah, Michael was talking to his daughter and she started talking about some female things. And he was like, you know what? I'm gonna let your mom handle that. Mm-hmm. It's like, is that really the way you should handle it? Like, you gotta be open to listen to that so that your daughter feels comfortable coming to you to talk about those things. So for me, like, you know, I'm far from it, but having that like willingness to have that open dialogue and have the conversations with me and mom in the same room, so that we can all be on the same page. Hopefully. I mean, it sounds great in theory. I don't know if it's really gonna work.
No, I think, man, that's a great approach. Something that I think I will try to aim for. I do think, you know, it is difficult. I remember, you know, like going to get like some feminine hygiene products for my wife, like before we were married. Mm-hmm. And I was like, man, it was almost like buying condoms for my first time. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm worried about nothing, but it seems like something to me because I don't really have a good grasp of, you know what I'm saying, of just a good understanding of that process. Or, I mean, I'm saying that like that, but I know what the cycles are and all that kind of stuff. But I think it was just felt taboo for a man to be going into the store and buying these kinds of things when, I mean, I'm really just making stuff up in my mind. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel you. I think I had that very similar thing, like going down the aisle. And I mean, come on, man, feminine hygiene, like, it's so many options.
It is.
It's like wings, no wings. Then, like, I'm like
heavy flow, light flow. I'm like, man, bro,
I was over there lost. This lady was like, this old lady was like, you want me to help you, son? I was like, yeah. So my wife said she wanted this and this, and I don't know. She was like, this is what you want right here. And I at first, like when I was younger, I was embarrassed. But as you know, as you get older, it's like, whatever, man. This is just life. It's a part of life. But I will say that taboo still sticks with me. Like when I do like go down the con, like if I want to look at some condoms, like I still wait until wait till there's nobody else on the aisle so I can be like, all right, let me see what they got. Yeah. Like real quick. And I'm like, I'm an adult. Why am I like, I hide it behind bread while I'm walking through the store. Like,
yeah, I was gonna say, I remember, you know, picking up some condoms and
that,
like,
ain't me at all.
Grabbing a bag of peanut M&Ms, like, oh yeah, I got this too, you know, ring that up, you know.
Hey, Mark, that's not you. You proud?
Heck, proudly, bro. Proudly.
Threw yours on the counter. Right.
Man, what? Mark, like, hey, right. let me get that 24 pack. Man, I do not be caring at all, even when it comes to like buying like feminine projects.
Well, I think just the psyche of it, man, and thinking about it now, like that could be a reason why some young men don't think to put on a condom during sex, man, you know what I'm saying, or when they're about to have sex or whatever. And just for lack of, I was embarrassed to go get it from the store or something like that. You know what I'm saying? Like,
when I was younger, I was. But now, at this point, I don't care. I mean, I don't think I've ever been embarrassed to buy, like, feminine products, just because when I was a young kid, I was, like, I've been doing it since I was, like, a kid, like, 9. Like, hey, go to the store and get this. But, you know, I also grew up in the rare times of, like, the 90s. So, like, I mean, my grandma would send me to the store with like $300 to buy some chewing tobacco and play her lottery. So I was, you know, like everybody knew my grandma.
Money, man.
I know. Yeah.
My grandma used to win big, so she used to hit the lottery every time because she played so many numbers too.
Yeah. And
so, you know, we would play the lottery, buy her chewing tobacco. They would even send me to the store to buy liquor. I would just carry it home. But everybody knew who I was because that's when, like, you know, families were rooted in the hood. So everybody knew my family. Wasn't no outsiders coming into our hood like that. And so everybody knew, like, oh, that's, you know, that's Aura's grandbaby. Don't nobody touch him. And it wasn't like I was going to get robbed back in the day because everybody knew who I was. Came from a big family. So, but anyway, I was just never nervous to go buy any of those products because I was so used to it from doing it at a young age and going to the store. You know what I'm saying? So I wasn't nervous about it. I mean, I think back in the day, when I was too broke, probably used to like shoplift times or something like that.
you know, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you know, it's wild. Like what I've realized as we get older is that, like, with this whole Planned Parenthood thing, right, it's not, it, like, the conversation transitions from, like, trying not to get pregnant to how do I get pregnant, right? Like, as we're getting older, like, you know, like, people buying ovulation tests. I didn't even know that was a thing to decide when they're ovulating so they can, you know, do the thing at the right time to have a kid. And then you have people, unfortunately, who have the struggles with having a kid. So it's just like, as adults, like, now we're living in the progressive adults. We live in a different world now than we did back then, right? Like, now it just feels, for me, like that Planned Parenthood thing just is just different. It's weird.
Yeah, it reminded me of, like, being in high school, like, you know, you find out, like, somebody was pregnant or something like that, or about to have a baby, or, you know, one of your homeboys or something like that. And, like, I remember always thinking, like, man, I know they say it take one time, But man, you had to be just going at it, you know, more than once, like a few times, like just going up in it raw, man. Like it's difficult to conceive. You know what I mean? I don't think people really, really, you know, get that. I mean, you know, people have miscarriages. My wife and I went through that before. You know, it's really a difficult kind of process. And that's one of the things I think that they kind of maybe overinflate or whatever. I mean, I guess it do only take one time, but...
Yeah, it do only it takes one time for some people.
I have
a whole lot of swimmers.
Yeah, I mean, it. I have a friend who said that they, this is the wildest thing, they said that they didn't think they could get pregnant or that they can get someone else pregnant because they had a couple of successful times going raw. And not being pregnant, so they just is like, oh, we good. These said friends now have 5-6 kids. I'm not talking about you, Chris. But
I know you're not talking about. I don't have 5 kids.
No, man, at some point, you just gotta.
You gotta admit it. I see. Oh, it's only 2 back there. You right. Gonna have 5 kids eventually. Wait, are y'all having more kids? That's a good question.
Who?
You and your wife. Oh yeah, you
Ooh.
Said you
Ooh.
You fixed.
Hey, Planned Parenthood, buddy.
Okay.
You on mute, brother?
I was saying goodnight to the bonus
got you.
Kid.
Got you.
But yeah, oh, I'm done. Yeah, it's a wrap. I've never wanted to have kids past 30. This is the most planned parenting I've ever done. Just get snipped. I was just like, it's a wrap. I don't need no more. As Bob Ross likes to say, I don't need no more happy mistakes.
Man, the funniest thing after I got snipped, like people kept saying, like guys kept saying, "Oh, congrats, man! It's a big step." I was like, man, I felt like I should have had a party or something.
Yeah, you should have.
Big deal, I ain't know.
It is a big deal, man, and it's actually a lot more common in our and with the men of our generation than we think it is too.
Yeah, well, I've heard you know some people that are like under 30 or just close, like being kind of told no by a physician, like no, we're not gonna do men? That. I've never heard of that, man. I'm like, it's your body. Like, why do you?
Listen, man, they tell women no all the time when getting their tubes tied, but I've never heard of them telling men no when getting vasectomies, which is crazy because, like, man, we can pretty much do whatever we want with our body.
No, yeah. And they you have a baby every that. Day.
And they'll never suggest getting a vasectomy. But yeah. I made that decision, but my decision was because, you know, it would have been too harsh on my kid's mom. You know, because I did it like 6 months after we had my son.
Mm-hmm.
And so for her, it would have been, she would have been out of work for like 90 days or whatever, you know, major surgery to cut her open and go in. And this was an outpatient thing and it was pretty much free. And so it was a no-brainer for me. Plus, I just didn't want to have no more.
Yeah, same thing for me, man. Like my wife had went through 3 C-sections. And it just would have been a crazy kind of thing. So I was like, you know what? I'll take one for the team. Take one for the team. I did, you know, but it's, you know, it's all good. Like you, I was done, man. I you know, I've heard, you know, there are people still squeezing out one, a kid. Hey, before.
Listen, man, I get mine checked out every year. I know you don't have to, but.
Yeah, they said you can come on and drop one of them cups off and, you know, we'll let you know, but I ain't did it yet, so I don't know.
I'm trying to be Team Raw Dog for life, bro.
Henry, man, is that something that you would consider? I say that because I've talked to other, like, black men, and, well, they might be older, so maybe that's a kind of generational thing, but... I haven't heard many older black men choose to do that procedure. So,
what are you calling me old?
I mean, you are the oldest.
No, I'm just saying, man. You know, you know, your wife, you know, been married a couple years almost, and you know, got one. Mm-hmm. So, just if you guys are planning, you know, for more children, or is there a point you think you just might just chop it off?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that hasn't even really became a consideration, because I feel like I've been very good throughout my life at controlling not having a kid until I want to have a kid. And I've been fortunate in that situation. And I feel that I can continue that streak, hopefully. So no, I mean, I'm not against it. It's just not like, you know, I'm not popping out a whole bunch of kids, so I'm not worried about that being a thing. And we're still, you know, we're still in our honeymoon phase with Charlie, and we definitely want to have one more. And then we'll see what time has, or what happens after that.
I feel that.
I'm too old to be having kids.
Mark,
I'm too old, but huh.
And you've been on a dating scene. Is that something that you usually bring up? Like, yo, I ain't having no kids.
Oh yeah,
that's,
man,
a good question.
We got the, and like, does that, like, I mean, women, I assume you dated women without children too. Mm-hmm. Like, what is that kind of conversation usually like?
Usually it's just like, hey, if we want to do this, we better do this quick, because I got to get a reversal. I got to heal. We got to get married. So we need to, ain't going to be no, like, let's play this game of cat and mouse chase. Like, no, if we going to be together, let's be together, so we can figure each other out to see if the love is there. But, you know, ain't nobody else made it to even get in the ring. So, you know, it ain't no.
So you would consider the reversal thing?
That's what I was about to ask. So you're not done?
No, I would have considered, but at this point, I'll be 35 next month. So it's a wrap for that. I've never wanted to have kids past 30.
You're making me sound old, man.
Listen, man, it is what it is. For me, I've always wanted to be a young dad. So when my son graduates high school, I'll only be like 42, 43.
Yes, sir.
And so, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's, I see a lot of beauty in that. I've never wanted to be an old dad. And so that gives me a lot of life with grandkids and possibly even great grandkids. And, you know, and then just also being like an athletic dad, you know, I want to still give my son his work when he's in high school. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm still trying to bust some ankles, you know, while he's on the basketball team, or, you know, I'm trying to run routes with him if he's playing football. And so I think about, you know, being active as a dad. You know, now I got a bonus kid, you know, with the lady I'm dating now. And so, you know, he's five.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I'm still young enough. I can still do all of that stuff with him.
Have you heard of anyone getting the procedure reversed?
Nah, I haven't actually. I mean, I've done like the research and I've seen like testimonial stories or whatever.
Yeah.
But once again, at this point, it ain't happening.
Nah, I feel you.
You know, like at one point, like I was, you know, talking to somebody who was like, hey, I got $4,000 now. But she was like older and she was just like, you know, she had just graduated like med school, and she was like, I got $4,000 now, like I'm ready. Like I can probably live with you. I was like, whoa, like you don't even know if you love me. You just gonna say. So, you know, so, I don't wanna rush anything. You know, I want, you know, when I get married again, I wanna, like, this is it. And so that's my only way of reversing anything is once I get married.
Could you have put some on ice?
I could have, but I wasn't thinking about that at the time because I was married.
That sounds expensive, man.
It does sound expensive too. That's another reason why I wasn't thinking about it. Mm.
Yeah.
Just a question. It seems like you can, you know, have a couple tubes just ready.
Listen, man. And plus, just in case. She was like, she was so hormonal while pregnant, we wouldn't have made it.
Yeah, that would have been a sad story. But,
yeah.
No, this, you know, this is a good talk. What about, so, you know, that's kind of what you were brought up with. What do you think, how are you planning to approach that with your kids? I know, Mark, you were saying, you know, it's kind of like, I think you talked a little bit about something else, but... Yeah, what do you guys think about how you would talk to your kids about the birds and the bees?
I would talk about safety, and then even more specifically, like with both of them, but like my son, I would, you know, teach him, like, you know, no means no, and understand the boundaries of a woman, or if a woman says she ain't sure, then don't keep going. You know, not a clear yes is a no. And understanding, like my daughter, that she can leave from any situation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know what I'm saying? And just, you know, safety and doing it as well. And, you know, using the SOS button on the iPhone, daddy'd be right there no matter what. If she don't feel safe. And if she, you know, teaching them just to be patient and not rush to do it.
Yeah, I think that's a big one too. But man, that's safety for sure, man. Like, all it takes is somebody's just saying, just planting the seed. Like, it, you know, it didn't have to be true, but if somebody said they felt you did them a certain way, like, that's it's almost like a, you know, things right there.
Yeah, like after my first time, I didn't do it again for like a whole another at least year and a half, because I knew nothing about it. But by the time I like did it again, like I was more so ready.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And so it was a way different experience for me. And I mean, I was responsible back then with everything. So it was different.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I just want to teach them responsibility and boundaries and respect.
Henry, what about you, man?
Oh, Charlie ain't having sex. We gonna have an agreement.
Long term, yeah.
Nah, I think, I don't know, when we refer to the birds and the bees, I feel like it's always, like, the talk, right? Like, it's one talk, and that's it. And I feel like it's a conversation that's had throughout. And so I think what I'm going to try to do, and this isn't even a conversation me and Pauline has had yet, because obviously we haven't needed to. But no, I think building that trust with her and whatever other kid I have in our relationship, so that like they feel that they have the ability to come and ask questions and be inquisitive about things, and there isn't going to be any shame or judgment or fear-based things. So then, like, as those conversations or those occurrences happen naturally through their life, they can come to us with those questions and be like, hey, this happened, I experienced this, I'm getting hair here, you know, like whatever the situation is, and we can at that moment deal with the situation at hand, as opposed to having some birds and the bees talk at one for one time.
Yeah, like I don't want my kids to be in a situation where they're, I mean, as much as I can control it, terrible word, but I don't want them to just learn from stuff from their friends or, you know, rumors or things that they heard or something like that. Like, I want to be able to talk and educate them too on what this term means, or, you know, what does it mean when you choose to, because like Mark said, it's a choice. Like, you know, when you choose to have a relationship like this, or, you know, all those kinds of things, you know what I mean? So I dig those approaches that both of you have hit on here, man. I don't think I would change anything.
Yeah, that's interesting what you said when you say about like terminology and getting it from like other sources. That's not something I considered, but again, I think the hope is that like that they would still be open to come back and like, hey, such and such said they did this thing, or they know about this thing, or we watched this. Can you tell me more about that? As opposed to, yeah, I ain't gonna tell daddy. he can't find out about this. Like, I don't want that. I mean, we've discussed this. Like, I don't want like a relationship of fear. Like, I want it to be just like, you could just come to me with anything. I don't care what it is. You could have just robbed a bank. Like, come to me and talk to me and let's talk it through. And it doesn't have to be like, I need to hide this from you. Cause I just don't want that kind of relationship.
I literally tell my kids that all the time. Like, it's no point in lying. If you made a mistake, we can always fix it. Mm-hmm. But if you lie, it's harder to fix.
Yeah, that's, so always,
I always encourage my kids to tell me the truth, no matter how embarrassed they are or how ashamed they are. Just tell me the truth. Let's get past it. Let's fix it. Let's find a resolution to anything.
I remember a few weeks ago, my daughter, I don't know if I told you guys this, but my oldest daughter, Isla, she came down with a book in her hand. And the book was like a gift from her godparents when she was born. It's called Go the F to Sleep.
Samuel L. Jackson. Yeah, it's a great book.
I don't think it's Samuel L. Jackson, though. But
He narrates it.
Okay. Yeah, I ain't heard the audio version. But we got the book. I'm going to have to pull up that audio.
Well, it's very popular on YouTube.
Okay, yeah. But she came down and she was laughing, like reading the book. I don't even know where she found it at. I forgot we had it, but she came down and, you know, was laughing, giggling and stuff, like, Daddy, what is this? This book, go to fuck to sleep. I was like, first of all, it was like 10 o'clock at night. I'm thinking I'm hearing stuff. I'm like, did she just like no way. And I wanted to laugh like so hard. But I wasn't gonna like yell at, you know what I'm saying that like she truly didn't know. But I did take the time to say, well, you know, that's a bad word. This is like a joke book. You shouldn't be saying those kinds of words, you know, it's a bad word. So I think that, you know, just taking those kinds of approaches with, you know, obviously much more serious things as they get older, and knowing that they can, you know, come and talk to you about those things is huge, and being confident in doing that.
Yeah. No, I mean, I just had a day date with my daughter the other day, and the reason for that was because we just hadn't spent like just one-on-one time together. And, you know, I have been remodeling my lady's bathroom or whatever for a while. And so we had spent so much time with her and her son and just doing family stuff that I hadn't really spent one-on-one time with my kids. And so my daughter was getting a bit jealous, like, hey, is she gonna go home? Can we not go to her house? Like, Daddy, we ain't just kicked it by ourselves in a minute. So she was getting a bit jealous. And so, you know, I had to take her on a date. I took her to her favorite restaurant, let her order her favorite meal. And we just sat and we talked. And I had to say, hey, instead of you know, getting an attitude or just trying to get on the couch and sit between us, like, just say, hey, Daddy, I need, like, just you for a minute. And, you know, I had to explain to her, like, that's okay to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's okay to say, hey, Daddy, I need you alone. Or, hey, Daddy, I need to talk to you.
For your daughters, like, have you, or Henry, have you thought about, like, so I've seen, like, you know, daughters or fathers, like, give sort of, like, symbolic gifts to their daughters. you know, something like not necessarily a promise ring, but different types of things like that that kind of symbolize, you know, just that daddy-daughter relationship and the bond there.
Like a purity ring? What's a purity ring?
Where you vow not to have sex?
Do daddies give that to daughters?
I don't know who gave it to him. Somebody.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry. Keep going.
Is that what it is? Ooh.
I definitely didn't get one of those.
Yeah, I don't know, man. That's now you got me thinking. I might be recalling this the wrong way then.
No, I mean, I did. But I buy my daughter jewelry all the time. Like, I mean, her first. Man, I bought her a pair of earrings when she was like 4, some gold hoops. So, I mean, she got like necklaces, she got all types of stuff. So, I don't know if I got a gift that I want to give to her like that. But I do have like my wedding band from when I was married to like their mom, and I do plan to like give that to my son. And I know like her mom plans to give her ring to her. But I haven't thought about like what I'm gonna give my daughter.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I mean, I think.
Yeah, I guess it would be like a purity ring or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, but having like symbolic, you know, gifts for your kids. I don't know. Like I like tradition things, and then there is a part of me where it's like you got to find the balance. 'Cause some things that are traditional, like maybe your kid just don't want that to be the like maybe they don't want that thing, right? Like for instance, a lot of people are asking us if we're gonna get Charlie's ears pierced. And we're like, you know, we made the decision that like no, we're not gonna get her ears pierced. We're actually gonna wait until she's old enough to decide, like, hey, I want to get my ears pierced, and then we can go get it then. Because you know, like we can get her ears pierced now, but what if she never wanted her ears pierced? And so like that makes me think of just like other traditional things that's like been forced on like me or my wife or just forced on our relationship. And you know, I'm a rebel. Like I like to break tradition just because like I feel like it's important to like also start your own traditions. Or at least pay homage to those and start your own traditions and not just follow tradition because this is the way it's always been done.
That's real. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that, hadn't thought about that much either. So I was just curious about what you guys had thought. But I've seen like different things like that, probably in movies. I don't think I've ever like really witnessed like nothing like that in real life. I don't think I've ever met a girl that's like, oh yeah, it's my dad's purity ring that he gave me, and all the other kind of stuff. Never
I've
saw.
heard of purity rings, but I think it's like I think and the promise ring, I think both of those are like I don't think it's given by the dad. I think it's like I have decided that I'm
That might be
going
it.
to practice abstinence until I'm married, and then maybe the church gives it to him, or maybe it's a gift after you've made that declaration. I don't know the ritual. But I feel like that'd be kind of weird for the dad to be like, here. Here's a purity
Hell
ring. You need to be pure until you 18. Like that just seems like a weird gift.
that'd be when you said that, I was like, man, I don't know. I might be recalling this the wrong way. I thought
Right.
that reminded me of that little T.I. story, man. Y'all remember that? Said he had his had a physician or gynecologist
Oh,
check
yeah,
his
he
prostate.
always check her hymen.
Like, man, that's wild. Yeah,
Oh yeah, he said that on his podcast, didn't he?
he did.
Yeah, he caught a lot of backlash for that.
that's wild, man. But hey, that's what he wanted to do, I guess.
To each their own.
Right.
Right, well, we are getting to a close here. What we got? We doing a dad joke? We doing dad moment of the week? What are we doing today?
Listen, my dad moment of the week was going to dinner with my daughter, and then of course, tomorrow, you know, her birthday. So that those two are my dad moments of the week, where you know, spending time with my young lady, that's always a special thing. And because, like, we do custom, like, she picks out a theme every year. And so we haven't done the photo shoot yet, but her theme is candy this year. And so she's going to do candy, yeah. So her cake is going to be, like, candy theme. And then her photo shoot for it, we do a photo shoot every year for their birthdays. And she wants to turn, she's going to do, like, something with bright colors and all of that, where she wants to put, like, color wigs on and have, like, candy around her. All this just crazy stuff. So it's going to be, like, a high fashion candy shoot.
That sounds dope.
Yeah.
What's her favorite restaurant?
Italian Gardens.
Oh, she fancy,
fancy. Right. Oh, my. Oh, listen, she's going to be my little bougie baby. She likes expensive stuff.
Man, my kids been eating freaking sushi since they were like 1 year old.
We got Charlie on some sushi.
Well, my kids don't like to try nothing.
So. That's funny. I got a couple, man. Just thinking back this week, man. My daughter, my youngest, Zahara, she'll be 2 this Saturday. But, man, she is just, like, really grown up so much. She got a lot of personality. So, we were in the car and, like, driving to, you know, her grandmother's house or something like that. And she was just, like, in the back, like yelling, like, "Daddy, daddy, daddy, daddy." Like, just yelling. I'm in the front seat. Turn around, she's just yelling this because her, like, shoe is, like, barely coming off. I'm like, oh my god, like, I thought I had to stop the car because, like, something was wrong. But I'm like, man, kids is wild, man. But yeah, man, it's just funny to see her personality. Like, she's super playful and a real, like, jokester, but, like, she's also kind of like a boss baby. Like, she likes to tell her brother and sister what to do. And, like, she'll yell at them, like she'll say their name, like, "Ray, Ray, no, no, put that down." Like, I feel like she just really just repeating what I be yelling at all day. So, so it's funny, man. But go ahead, H.
No, that's dope. I want your man. All of our kids gotta meet, right? Cause Mark, you ain't never met my daughter.
No, I haven't. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited for all of that interaction to actually happen. Yeah, I think my dad moment of the week was also so we went on a play date with this little boy that Pauline swears is Charlie's boyfriend, but I ain't having that. So we went on a play
in the chest.
Right. he's a cute kid though. So we went on a play date, and they were like on the little blanket in the grass, and the little boy was like crying, and Charlie like and his mom, you know, she's trying to do her thing, and Charlie like crawls over there, and she gets all, she like while his mom is trying to console him, she like gets all in his face, like, "Little boy, why are you crying?" Like, she's like looking like, and then she like pets him a little bit, like, you know, trying to console him. I'm like, who is this little bitty baby? Like,
yeah,
just a few months ago you were a blob, and now you out here consoling other humans. Like, it's crazy. Like you said, Chris, it's crazy to see them develop into people.
Yeah, it is wild, man. Man, real quick, a couple dad jokes for you.
Let's hear them.
Put this on. Let me, you know. All right. Mom is mad at me because she asked me to sink her phone, so I threw it in the ocean. Sink? No. Okay. All right. Well, I don't trust stairs. They're always up to something. Nope. Okay. Oh man,
But
tough
you gotta
crowd.
come with it. You gotta come with it
Tough
today.
crowd. Okay. This is a good one. This is a good one. All right. It's raining cats and dogs, so be careful not to step in a poodle. Come on, y'all
Almost
know.
there. It's getting there.
All
Almost. It's a
right,
smile.
all right, I want to hear some y'all jokes one day.
I had a good
I
one.
mean, I get it. I mean, it's cool.
I don't need
I
that sympathy left.
mean, it was okay.
Nay.
It was okay.
You got one, Mark? Off the top of the dome, what you got?
What do you call a fish that wears a bow tie?
A penguin.
Nah, sophisticated.
Okay. That was decent.
I might have said that one. I don't know.
Somebody hear a good joke and swear they wrote it.
I know,
That.
right? All right, I got another one. How do you follow fresh or dang, I did just
You
stole
gave us
it.
the joke. Yep.
Dang.
Just like a daddy. Can't even tell the joke. Yeah,
Dang. I mean, it's cool. Let me see.
I'm gonna bring y'all some fire next time.
Right. What do you call a factory that makes okay products?
What you got?
A satisfactory. Like a satisfactory.
The sophistication one was better. Yeah. That might
All
be it.
right.
That's
All right,
top one.
have you heard about the chocolate record player though?
No.
Was pretty sweet.
Okay, we gonna call it a night, gentlemen.
Dang.
We will be back with better dad jokes next time. In
Ain't
the
doing this no more.
meantime, thanks for tuning in. We holla at y'all.
Peace.
All right.